It's All About Food with Karen Hartglass, Wednesdays at 3 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Everybody, I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. Happy September. Here we are, rolling along in 2011, and we've got some really great stuff coming up, and I want to jump right into it. So, you know, on this show, we talk about food, my favorite subject, and about how food affects our health, the environment, and certainly the other beings that some people call food on this planet. And we talk about a lot of things because what's amazing is that food, which so many of us take for granted, is so essential, of course, to our health. But we really need to connect the dots and see how the whole process of growing food, creating food, manufacturing food, eating food, how it affects us in so many ways. And sometimes food is not so healthy for us. There's good food and there's bad food. And when you get toxic, when you get sick, and when you need help, there's lots of different ways to go about healing. And we're going to talk about some herbal healing, specifically for children. We're going to be talking with Demetria Clark, the author of a new book, Herbal Healing for Children. And she is a North American herbalist specializing in herbals for pregnancy, birth, postpartum, nursing, and children. She is a traditional family herbalist. She has worked with families for over 20 years as an herbalist, aromatherapist, midwife, doula, and traditional medicine maker. She works extensively in the U.S. and Europe, blending the two traditions. Demetria lectures extensively on herbal care for sexuality, pregnancy, and women's health. Demetria believes in families having options to self-empower and have health and wellness options. She is the founder and director of Heart of Herbs Herbal School, and two websites to make note of, heartofherbs.com and the doula training program Birth Arts International at birtharts.com. Welcome, Demetria, to It's All About Food.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah. So, you know, I find herbs fascinating, and there's a wealth of tradition and history and healing, and I often ask myself, how did we get to where we are today? It's a crazy, crazy place where some of the simplest things that could be so helpful, people have so many stigmas attached to them. And herbal healing has gone through a variety of cycles, I think, in the course of humanity. And specifically, I mean, you write in your book about all these different cultures that have used herbs for thousands of years, and so much of that we've forgotten.
Oh, yes, definitely. It's a very sad reflection of our past and hopefully not our future.
Right. Well, I know that so many Americans are always looking for the quick fix. Do you want the blue pill or the red pill? But something easy, something to pop in our mouths and make the immediate symptoms go away. And I'm hoping that we're maybe going backwards a little in a positive way and learning that the quick fix is not always the best fix. And some of these more sophisticated pharmaceuticals are not really what's best. Sometimes they can really help, but we definitely need a balance. And so you're involved with herbal healing, and how did that start?
Well, it really was an organic process. It was something that I just started having an interest in childhood. So it wasn't, I didn't have a great epiphany. I didn't go through an illness or anything like that. It was just something that just seemed to be part of me as a child. I was always curious and So, and then it grew, and then as I grew up, I began to have a more formal education in herbalism. But it wasn't really a conscious choice. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it was just part of who I was.
Well, no, I applaud that, because you were following your bliss, as they say, as Joseph Campbell would say, and so many people, I think, ignore those natural intuitions because they're bombarded with so many different signals from everyone around them. And so it's good that you picked up on that, because it's really important what you're doing.
Oh, well, thank you.
So how did you learn? Because there's so much that's been lost. Where do you find the information?
I listen to people. When I was really little, I listened to people. I would ask a lot of questions. I was probably that little obnoxious kid that never shut up.
Why?
I probably still am. But my mother's husband at the time was in the Coast Guard, and so we were in Alaska and Oregon and North Carolina, and there are people from different cultures. I was from the White Mountains of New Hampshire. So there were people from, you know, in a military environment. There are people literally from all over the United States. And I would just ask people questions. Well, why are you eating, you know, this kind of green? Or that looks like a weird leaf. What's that? And people were nice to me. And, they, and you know, that was the main thing. I think if someone was mean to me really young, I don't know if that would have stopped. And then my mother was into culinary herbs. And so, I've always liked cooking, so that was interesting. And, you know, it just kind of was my grandparents. My grandfather is the world's best storyteller, and so he'd tell us stories, and if he'd mention something that his grandmother would use, or, you know, and it just kind of came from this place of, okay, I already know what I'm supposed to be doing, you know, and it was just a matter of allowing myself to take in the information. And then I hung around with a lot of hippies. As I was growing up, so, you know, that helped. And they were all very nice to me, and, you know, I was so young, and everyone was really nice and charming.
Well, so. I you talk about how you followed the Grateful Dead, and I'm sure there's a whole nother book there.
Yeah, someone's been joking that I should have written a screenplay instead of an herbal book about that.
Well, maybe that's the next thing.
Yeah, because my husband's on board with that, because he is the other part of the story. So.
Yeah, that was a pretty incredible culture for its time, and there are some good things that came out of it, and maybe some not so good things. But just like herbal healing, there are. I mean, we certainly don't know everything, and I'm all about balance. I'm not about moderation, and I want to make that clear, because I don't like the word moderation, but I do like the word balance. For example, there's a few shows on television, and I certainly don't watch television very often, but I know that, like on the Dr. Oz show, for example, they're always looking for different things to have on the show, because how many things can you talk about every day? And people come on the show sometimes and talk about old wives' tales or traditional remedies, and then they kind of decide whether they're real or not. And the few shows I've seen, they're kind of ridiculous. because some of these remedies have never really been through clinical trials, so we don't have official science behind them. But, you know, so many of them have been helpful for so many people, and a lot of them really don't have any serious side effects, so you don't really lose by trying them.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And also, when it comes to clinical trials with anything, you have to look at where the source is from.
Absolutely.
So if a pharmaceutical company that is making a competing drug with an herbal remedy that they are then funding the clinical trial for, you're probably not going to get the best results. And unfortunately, the people that can fund clinical trials aren't always as friendly to herbal medicine as they can be.
Right.
And because I think they have a need to prove it to be something other than it is.
Well, unfortunately, we know that most of the studies come from businesses that see a potential in making a profit from a particular product. And there isn't a lot of funding behind truly objective studies.
No, you're right.
And okay, so that's unfortunate. And the other thing is this thing about patents. Now, I'm sure when the concept of a patent came about, it was really a good thing to protect some really creative invention or idea that someone came up with. But patents have really gotten out of hand to the point where people are looking to patent everything they can get their hands on to get a financial advantage on a product. And a lot of these traditional herbal remedies, you can't patent them.
No, you can't patent. Well, but they are trying to patent some of the plants.
Yes, they are.
But, I mean, not only can you not patent them, like you said, no two herbalists are going to make anything exactly the same. So if you test something that is, in theory, made exactly the same by me and you, and we're in two different areas, the medicine that we make won't be the same because our soil is different, our air is different, our water supplies are different, and that all makes a big difference. So that's one of the reasons why I'm really into parents, if possible, if they can make some of their own remedies, doing it from their own local environment, because your local environment knows how to take care of your body, because you drink that water, you breathe that air, you eat the food from there, you're used to the microbes in the soil, and just, you know, really reinforcing that connection that you have with your own backyard.
Yeah, I think that's really important. Back to the idea that people want a quick fix and a pill, you go into a lot of recipes, I should say, and a lot of methods to create all kinds of different things, salves and tinctures and a lot of things that are out of my vocabulary. but, you know, most people, in this country, we're so into convenience. And I'm always encouraging people just to get back into the kitchen, number one, and start creating some very simple, nutritious food so you don't consume all kinds of toxic chemicals that are going to make you and your children sick. And then on top of that, to create some of these things, people have to find the products and make them. So how do you convince parents, busy parents with young children, to create some of these things?
Well, if I was in a consultation with a client who was saying, I really don't have time to do all this, I would, you know, say, okay, well, let me teach you how to do it, and then you can teach your friends. And then I hear reports back, well, four of us got together, and we all made cough syrup. So that not only can it be a community activity where you're getting together with your girlfriends or boyfriends or whatever, but you can also, you're creating medicine, you're creating something together, and you're socializing at the same time. So not making it this big, oh, my gosh, I have to do this, but, hey, let's get together and do this. And making it part of our social conversation and a way that we can get together and hang out and do something fun. A lot of parents will say, oh, I don't know if I have time. But then they start doing it and they kind of get addicted. Oh, my gosh, it worked. I have to try something else. Or, oh, my goodness, I used that balm on my husband's back. And, oh, he feels so great today. He was, you know, laying brick all weekend. And, you know, so it's kind of, you know, it's kind of empowering to just do some of it on your own. And, of course, there are quality products all over the place. You can also find them at your farmer's market, and those will be made locally. You can, you know, and little stores and health food stores, and, you know, but in every city, in every town in the United States, there's herbalists. And they may not call themselves herbalists. They may say they make herbal products and they're a soap maker, but finding out what's going on in your community is a great way to get access to different herbal medicines.
I love the whole idea about building community. I really, really love that. And although I am a big supporter of technology and all of the benefits of global relationships, we need to find a balance there too. And I think we could do more in our local communities by growing food and purchasing products from our local suppliers and getting together and creating some great herbal remedies. I love that.
Definitely. And I think if someone's listening and they say, oh, that's a good idea, remember to ask the people, even people that you don't think would be into it, because you'll be really surprised. There's a lot of people who really want to learn this stuff, but if you just look at someone's outside, you may be thrown off. But seriously, you know, even, you know, just putting the word out, you'd be surprised who's interested
right.
in this kind of
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I really love that. Now, I want to talk most about the positive benefits, but just one more thing that's maybe not so positive, and that is there's a lot of talk about herbal remedies or holistic remedies that you can find in stores, and some of them which come from other countries. I remember reading stuff, things coming from India that weren't entirely pure and contained mm-hmm. some particularly problematic ingredients.
I personally, as an herbalist, I am a Western herbalist. I don't believe, for environmental reasons and factors that are out of my control,
mm-hmm.
I don't purchase anything from another country. So I don't use herbs that aren't grown in the United States. And the reason why I do that is 9 times out of 10, I can grow them myself. If I can't grow it myself, I can talk to the person who did grow it. So I know it's history. And also, I think it's very counterintuitive to pay for something that is coming over on, we know that cargo ships are some of the worst polluters of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So then they're coming over on a cargo ship, they're getting irradiated, because everything that goes through customs has to be. So, you know, people forget that when it comes to herbs.
Really good point, yeah.
And then they have to be trucked, and then they have to be shipped. It just seems like, oh, what a waste of time and money. Maybe it's a little bit cheaper, but in the long run, with my tax dollars and my environment, it's a lot more expensive. So I'll probably get some hate mail from somebody now. But I mean, it just doesn't make
it doesn't make sense
to me.
Absolutely. And, you know, I really wish that we were paying the true cost of things, because we're certainly not. I mean, how possibly could it be less expensive to buy some simple herb from India or from China instead of buying it here? And it just doesn't make any sense at all.
No, I agree.
And I love the idea of growing your own. Okay, maybe you did follow the Grateful Dead, and and there's a bit about growing your own who knows what.
No.
That joke. I live in New York City, and I have a terrace, and in the growing season, I have all kinds of pots outside and grow lots of different herbs, and the most fun thing is that so many of them just come back without even planting seeds, and I've got dill and a variety of other things, and it's so easy to grow your own herbs, so I love that, indoors or outdoors.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of people separate kitchen herbs, like cooking herbs,
mm-hmm.
from medicinal herbs. But a lot of your culinary herbs are very medicinal. So you can say to yourself even, I have a medicinal herb garden, even if it's traditional culinary herbs. It's just your perspective. So if you want to have a medicinal herb garden, then look up what your culinary herbs can do for you, and then you get more bang for your buck. You can do both, you know.
So I'm just thumbing through the book a little bit, and I marked a few things that I liked. I'm definitely a believer of preventing rather than treating, but if you do have something that you need to treat, there's certainly all kinds of wonderful remedies in here that may help. But one of the suggestions that you mentioned for diaper rash is letting the baby run around for some of the time without diapers and teaching them some control. And I've only seen one person in my community do this, and I just thought it was great.
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of the things is there's so much use now of plastic diapers, and even the organic ones or the very, you know, the more natural ones, they're very expensive. So subconsciously, I think sometimes parents leave their kids in diapers longer than they should, and then the urine is going to react to the chemicals in the diaper. But also urine then becomes ammonia, and that's sitting on our children's skin.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can just, I mean, my boys would, they would be naked, you know, kicking their feet around, and occasionally there'd be a stream that came up, and they'd get wiped off. But they didn't ever have, they never had diaper rash.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't, okay, that's not true. Once one of my sons ate a bunch of clementines and got a diaper rash, but he was like two. But you know, it wasn't something that, you know, we would just, if I thought there was something, you know, a potential, a little preventative and letting them air it out. And it made my life much easier. A lot of my friends at the time who had babies were really having troubles with diaper rash, and I just felt so lucky that my baby didn't cry every time I wanted to change their diaper.
Okay, so I'm looking. This is like a reference book, this book that you've written, Herbal Healing for Children, and you can see all the different herbal preparations that you can make and the different herbs that are available and what they do and their benefits and some of their contraindications. And okay, so some of them surprise me, like you list bergamot, and I'm a big drinker of Earl Grey, which has bergamot in it, but you say it shouldn't be taken orally. Is it okay?
That is for infants.
Oh, okay.
And the essential oil.
Okay.
So you wouldn't want to take the essential oil internally. Now, Earl Grey tea, they have, you know, one drop of the essential oil and like a half a pound of tea, or even more. So, of course, you know, all of these have to do specifically with children. And, of course, there's some variables, but this is a general guideline. Like, it's very easy to make your own bergamot tea. It's, you know, black tea, whatever type you like. And, you know, or if you want to go the traditional route using the type that is suggested. And then it's essentially a drop of essential oil.
Okay.
And it's pretty, you know, and pretty yummy,
right?
Tea.
Yeah. I was just surprised to see that. I was also surprised, but now I think you've explained that this is for children, because I see here you talk about cinnamon, and half a teaspoon to a teaspoon can really be problematic, but that's for small children.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, if I had a teaspoon of cinnamon, would that be too much?
Well, have you ever made yourself cinnamon toast and gone crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably not then. Probably be fine.
Okay. What I like to do
we forget that a lot of these are food herbs. And when we think about it in a medicinal application, you know, someone will say, well, is it safe to drink, you know, 2 cups of basil tea? But at the same time, they're putting like a half a cup of ground up basil in their pesto or
right.
cup. And they don't really make the connection that they're the same plant.
Well, I do agree that too much of anything is no good, because we could drown ourselves by drinking way too much water, and yet we can't live without water. So there is that. But just a little note about cinnamon. I've been really going nuts with cinnamon lately. I'm not buying it ground anymore. I buy the sticks, and I ground them up. And wow!
What a difference, huh?
Such a difference! Whoa! Yes. So I recommend that.
Yeah, well, it is so good. You know, it's antibacterial, antispasmodic. So if you're traveling, if you travel a lot and you go to countries where you could potentially get diarrhea from the food, it's really an easy herb to find or to bring with you. And just a little bit of cinnamon tea can set you right pretty quickly.
That's a good thing to know. I will definitely do that. I like that very much. Another one of my favorites, and then I'll ask you what your favorite is, but one of my favorites is tea tree oil. I put it on everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing what it can do. I don't quite understand why it's so phenomenal, but it's cured a lot of skin-related issues.
And it's generally pretty safe, too, and a lot of people really like the smell. I use it to clean my house when if one of my kids has a friend over who's got a drippy nose or something. I hit all the places kids touch, so doorknobs and toilet handles and sink faucets and, you know, all of those places where kids, you know, video game controllers or whatever the kids are doing at the time. And, you know, I mouses and, you know, all that kind of stuff, and just use it as a preventative.
That's great. I never thought about that, and I'm definitely going to start throwing in a few drops. There's so many things in here that I really like, but we're actually running out of time. But I just wanted to mention, you've got all these great recipes. You've got a recipe for cleaning children's toys, which is vinegar-based, and I thought, how brilliant is that? So simple.
You can tell I used to work at a daycare center when I was in my late teens, early 20s.
And then you have a sinus headache pillow. Love it. Just to smell those eucalyptus and peppermint and rosemary leaves while you're resting is fabulous.
Yeah, and if you are prone to allergies and sinus infections, that's something that you can just have in your sock drawer.
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
And always, you know, and if you want to reactivate the scent, if it seems to have faded a little, just roll it around in your hands and crush up different herbs.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, what's your favorite herb?
It depends on what day of the week it is. Right now I have a little bit of a sore throat. I've been doing a lot of talking on the phone lately.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's been very dry in North Carolina except for yesterday. So right now I'm really into elderberries.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Dimitri, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for writing Herbal Healing for Children. And
thank you.
I invite people to visit heartofherbs.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and I really appreciate you having me on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. Okay. Have a great day.
You too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. We'll be right back with Karen Calabresi and her book, Soak Your Nuts. Hi, I'm Karen Hartglass, and this is It's All About Food. How are you today? I hope you're feeling well. And if you're not, well, we have some good things to talk about today to give you a little more pep, a little more energy, a little more glow. And we are going to be talking with Karen Calabresi, who has a new book called Soak Your Nuts, Cleansing with Karen. And she is a successful entrepreneur and popular holistic health expert based in Chicago. She started on her journey of health after suffering from a host of allergies and ailments as a child. In her 20s, she turned to natural solutions to improve her health, gradually transitioning from vegetarian to vegan to a complete raw vegan diet. For the past 30 years, Karen has been committed to taking care of her body and helping others do the same. In addition to a raw diet, she believes in regular detoxification and has developed a program she teaches to hundreds of people a year in Chicago, and is now available in her debut book, Soak Your Nuts, Cleansing with Karen. Karen's business also includes 3 vegan restaurants, a holistic wellness center, and a line of all-natural supplements, skincare, and makeup. Karen has enjoyed a huge success as a health expert in the local and national media, including 2 appearances on the Oprah Winfrey Show that featured age-defying women. Karen was awarded the first annual Raw and Living Foods Golden Branch Award in 2002 for introducing the idea of raw and living foods to the greatest number of people in the mainstream public. Wow, Karen, you are amazing.
It sounds like it when you say all of that.
It sure is amazing. Well, I love bios. And one of the reasons I love them is because we highlight the things that we like. And if ever anything has happened that we haven't liked, they don't exist anymore. And so
that's a great way to look at it. Well, Karen, thank you so much for having me on the show today.
Yes, I'm excited to talk to you. But I read some of the beginning intro to your book, and there's a lot of positive motivational self-help stuff in here, and the reason why I mentioned that thing about the bio is because I love the rules for human beings that you listed in the beginning of your book, and the fact that there are no mistakes, only lessons, and the failed experiments are part of the process. And anyway, it's all good.
Absolutely. Well, one of the things, we have a detox class going on right now, and I only have 3 rules to follow, and 1, make yourself number 1, which is, amazingly, is very difficult for so many people.
It is.
Number 2, no judgment of your choices. And number three, that everything is okay. And if you do make a mistake, you just kiss each shoulder and say, it's part of my process, and keep moving forward. And it's amazing, those three little rules, how far they can take you. I also recommend that you don't necessarily discuss all of your changes with people as you're in the process, because we all intuitively know what's right. And when you present people with something they know in their heart is right and they're not ready for it, they're going to attack you.
I'm glad you brought that up. I was going to, because I saw that in your book and really resonated with it. It's a strange thing that when we're trying to improve ourselves and do things that are good for ourselves, how people will react. And they kind of want to keep you down in a way because they feel better about themselves staying down.
I don't think it's a bunch of bad people out there. I just think that there's a negative gravitational pull to go in the other direction. And when you step outside of what everybody's doing, you make people uncomfortable. And if people are uncomfortable, they attack. You know, and I don't think it's bad people. People just react the only way. Well, they're asleep, basically.
Yep.
And, you know, nobody wants to wake up.
Yeah. So
they've made the choice.
It's really a great idea that when people are going through your process or any type of cleansing process, not really to talk about it until they start to see some of the benefits, and then their foundation is a lot stronger and they can speak from knowledge.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because the words from other people, they're almost like slugs to your body. They just kind of hang on, and you can be so motivated and you can feel so great, and that slug will just start to pull you. And, you know, the next thing you know, it's comfortable and easy to be like everybody else.
Okay, so I want to tell you that I live in New York, but I've been to Chicago many times, and I have been to your Raw restaurant several times.
Oh, great.
Yes, and I've met you, but you don't have to remember me. That's okay.
I'm sure you
meet I'm sure you meet a lot of people. And I'm a Karen with a Y, too, but with a C, not a K.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that's nice about your restaurant, there's so many things, but one is I really appreciate that the decor is so lovely. And
thank you.
There are so many different vegetarian restaurants out there, and we deserve to have things that are upscale. We deserve to be in beautiful environments when we're eating.
You know, one of my whole point, because I'm 64 years old, so, and I've been doing this longer than a lot of people. I've been a vegan vegetarian about 42 years now. And one of the things that I felt where there was a need was to create a space where everybody felt comfortable. So, you know, we're kind of pigeonholed when you're a vegan. You know, we're all Birkenstocks, and not that there's a problem with Birkenstocks,
right.
And not that there's a problem with that, with the whole hippie-type feeling to it, but it kind of turns some people off. And so my thought was to create spaces where everybody felt comfortable, where I'm not just preaching to the choir with the people who are already comfortable living this type of lifestyle. So thank you for recognizing that, because I've gone out of my way to make all of my restaurants pretty unique in the decor as well as the food.
I think art is really important in our lives, and I try to make whatever I can beautiful. And when I see things that are beautiful, I really appreciate them. So.
Yeah, and you know what? That's where food starts. And you're right. What you see, that starts the digestive juices going. If things are beautiful around you,
you want to eat them.
Yeah.
Okay, and I also like the fact that your Raw restaurant is so close to the Steppenwolf Theater.
Yes.
I don't know how many people that go to the theater frequent your restaurant, but it's a really lovely combination.
They come for the parking lot, right? They come for a quick, cheap place to put their cars because it's free, and they come in and they eat. And so who knows how many people that we get to turn on to trying something different just from being in this neighborhood also. Because I am in an upscale neighborhood, the Raw restaurant. I have two other restaurants also cooked vegan, and they're in pretty upscale neighborhoods too.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows how many people? Well, I do. Every time I'm in my cooked vegan restaurant on Green Street, you know, people say, well, we were just walking down the street and we just happened to come in. No, we're not vegans, but boy, this food is good.
Right. I love that.
Yeah, I don't want to preach to the choir. You know, I want to get the people who would never come to this whole way of thinking and living. And hopefully, I think it's working. I mean, we literally have had, you said hundreds, but I got to brag a minute. We've had thousands and thousands of people go through my detox class. Literally thousands. I get anywhere from 100 to 300 every other month in my classes.
Wow.
So,
well, that's good and maybe not so good. But, you know, America is really in a difficult situation right now, and we are definitely having a health crisis, and so many people feel sick.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing a lot of them.
And you know what we see? We see young people getting the diseases that only old people used to get.
Yeah, how
that's
sad is
happened.
That?
I'll tell you, Karen, you know, I was at a funeral yesterday. Well, I had to go sit Shiva. My next-door neighbor has cancer.
Mm-hmm.
A relative has cancer. Another dear friend has it. Everywhere I
it's
turn,
the common cold today,
it's
cancer.
It's the plague of our time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I like to let people know that I don't believe this is a condition that we have to manifest. I mean, yes, we all have cancerous cells in our bodies at different times, but how well do we create a fertile ground for it to metastasize? And this is where the problem is coming in. We are living in such an age of chemicalization. I mean, chemicals everywhere. And this is why I believe detoxification is so important, because even though I'm 99.9% raw, vegan for 42 years, I don't drink, smoke, or do drugs, no meat, fish, mm-hmm. sugar, dairy, I detox my body a minimum of 4 times a year. And people go, well, why, Karen? What are you doing? Well, you know what? I'm driving behind buses. I'm taking in chemicals. I'm getting my clothes dry cleaned. I'm taking in chemicals. I don't just eat in my restaurants. You know, I don't choose to live in a bubble. I want to be out and about in a part of the world. I go to black tie events. I go around. So because I'm going to be a part of this world, I need to clean out my body too. And I do it a minimum of 4 times a year, even with my lifestyle.
Yeah, it's no diet is going to, number one, keep us from dying. Number one, our time's going to be up at some point. But even if we're on a really tremendously healthy diet, things can happen, and it's because we live in such a toxic environment. I know just outside my neighborhood, they've been redoing the pavement and the schoolyard, and what's been in the air has just been terrible, and I can't rinse my nose out enough. There's just so much stuff in the air.
And even without something so active as that going on, just day-to-day living.
Yeah.
You know, just day-to-day living. Unless you're, in my opinion, unless you live in the rainforest on a mountaintop somewhere, you need to detox your body. You need to break down those layers of toxicity. We build up layer upon layer. You have a trillion cells, and you're building up toxicity around the cells, and it's that toxicity that we're holding that's feeding your cells. We like to think that we're living off of, you know, food, but in reality, we're living off of the gases from the liquids, which is why you're supposed to chew your food until it's a liquid, and it's those gases that are actually feeding us. So if you have a lot of toxicity, gases, in your body, this is what's feeding your cells and growing you old and making you sick and making you tired. You know, there's nothing about me. People like to feel that, you know, I'm a African-American woman, so we don't age at the same rate. But that's not true. We have hypertension. We have weight gain. We have diabetes. We age, too. And my mother died at 48. My grandmother died at 50. And my great-grandmother died at 60, which is why I started doing all of this. So to me, I think if you live in this world, you need to clean out your body. And this is why I wrote the book, because, and why I gave it the name, too, because I wanted to reach a lot of people. I wanted people to smile. I wanted people to think it can be a fun journey. Yes, it's serious. Yes, it takes some motivation and some time. But where better to put your money and energy than in yourself?
That's right. Well, I want to say, the last time I saw you was in 2007, and you were stunning. And so I can definitely verify. I mean, that wasn't that long ago. And so, you know, I know that I'm looking at a picture here, but you are a very beautiful woman, and you're in fabulous, fabulous shape. And so you definitely practice what you preach, and it shows.
Thank you. Well, I do, and you have to, you know, and this is the best way to do it, is by taking care of you, and then it kind of falls into place. People are attracted to what you're doing. It isn't about, you know, shoving something in somebody's face, going, here's some wheatgrass, drink it. It's about making it a daily practice of yours so that you emanate the light from God's pharmacy that you're putting in your body, you know, and people want to do it. People want to be a part of it. We all intuitively know what's right, Karen. We're born with the knowledge to take care of ourselves. We're animals. We're instinctual. It's just that living in the toxic world, you know, that we live in, we've forgotten and we've fallen asleep. And so what I find for myself and the thousands of people that do go through the classes or through the book or the DVD or however you're finding. Or, you know something, Karen, it isn't just my detox. I think all detoxes work if they're, you know, healthy, if they're building up and tearing down at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe I have all the answers. I believe the answer is to find a program that works for you to break down the toxicity that we're living with. But the results that I see from the people that take my classes, and we have doctors taking the classes, lawyers, nurses, school teachers, bricklayers, I mean, all professions, and everybody gets results. And the reason I believe that is because cause and effect. That's what rules the universe, cause and effect. And if you put enough of the right stuff in and get rid of enough of it, there's no way you can't heal and feel better. You get new cells every 7 years. You get new tissue every 3 months. This body is on an ongoing cycle of regeneration, only, though, if it gets oxygen, enzymes, and nutrients. And, you know, that's what I'm helping people to wake up to, that what you put in the most magnificent machine you'll ever be given is the most important choice and decision you'll make every moment of your life.
I think I'm going to start a little mantra here. Oxygen, enzyme, nutrients, oh my. Oxygen, enzymes, and nutrients, oh my.
You've got it. That's it. Do you know, when man was created, the oxygen levels were at 38% out there. And then after the Industrial Revolution, they were down to 22%. Well, we're living in the teens in terms of oxygen in our environment. All cancer cells, viruses, they're all anaerobic. They can't live in an oxygenated environment. So we're not getting it in our air. We're not getting it in our food. And our bodies are literally starving.
That's a really good point, because I want to believe that nature got it right. And if we just live simply and naturally, we will do well. But I think we have to do a little more than just eating our salads, because our foods, the nutrition in our foods is depleted, the oxygen in the environment is depleted, and we have to concentrate and supercharge. And so some of the things that you recommend are a part of that, the green meal, smoothies.
Well, and so much of my program and my own lifestyle has greens in it. You know, the human condition, we're supposed to be taking in 60-70% chlorophyll a day. And, you know, how much are most people getting? Maybe a little piece of a salad once a day.
Right.
And so much of what we don't understand is we need chlorophyll. We need chlorophyll. Chlorophyll is like our blood. It's got the same molecular structure as our blood. There's one molecule is different, the iron and magnesium. I mean, and when you take in chlorophyll, you are literally absorbing the toxicity out and rebuilding the blood. So much of my program involves taking in all different forms of chlorophyll. And then when you're done with the detox, you find what's comfortable and you kind of stay with that. It's kind of like you go to boot camp for the body. And then when the 30 short days are up, and I like to stress it's 30 short days out of 365 days to kind of like reboot your life and your body.
Mm-hmm. And then, okay, so you have a month program. It's 28 days or 30 days and 4 weeks long. Can you just quickly go through what happens in those 4 weeks?
Well, if you're in the book or taking the class or doing it from the DVD, a lot of it has to do with the insights that I'm giving you into your life. And it really makes sense. I mean, one of the main things we give up is all cow secretions, I call them. You know, other people call it dairy, but the reality is it's a cow secretion. And in my world, it's the single worst thing that human beings do on a continual basis.
Mine too. Amen.
Mm-hmm. It's the worst thing that we can do. And that's why I went from being a vegetarian to a vegan. Because I realized how negative it was. So we give up all cow secretions, and it's amazing how people automatically start to feel a change. And, yes, their noses start to run a little bit. You start to release the mucus and other things that you don't need any longer, you know, that you have way too much of. That's what people call a cold. But in my world, it's just your body getting rid of what it doesn't need, and you don't need a chemical to hold on to it. So we give up. And I offer, in my class, I offer an optimal and a conservative. And those who choose to go conservative give up all meat, fish, chicken, and dairy the first week. Those who are ready to go optimal, they give up cooked food and they go raw. So the first week you get to kind of ease into it in any way that it feels comfortable to you. And then I recommend certain herbs and vitamins, and we certainly start taking enzymes too, even those raw. Even though I'm raw, I do quite a few enzymes a day, plant-based enzymes. And we do other herbs and things like fenugreek seed to balance blood sugar levels so you stop craving sugar. And we do a drink called Rejuvelect, which I just put up on YouTube. You can go to my YouTube station and find out how to make a lot of these things that I'm talking about and are in the book. And Rejuvelect is not my creation. It was Dr. Ann Wigmore who started this whole living movement in our time. And it's a lactobacillus. It's living enzymes. It's a good bacteria, the lactobacillus, and it's B12. It's B vitamins. And we do different, two or three different forms of chlorophyll. And you go away and you come back. And you come back the next week and we take away some more and we add some more. And by the third week, so it's a gentle change. It isn't just all of a sudden you're eating steak one day and you're fasting the next. I don't believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
And by the third week, those who are ready, we do a little mini fast. And for some, it's a mini, and for others, they choose to take it longer. This really is about me giving you a large picture, and you fit yourself in where it feels comfortable. Like I said, there's no right or wrong or good or bad. It's just a chance to wake up and do things differently and put yourself in your own program. So by the third week, and then the fourth week we come back and we get guidelines, and it's amazing, Karen, the things that are reported back to me that people experience. People lose anywhere from 6 to 30 pounds. We have people go off blood pressure medication and cholesterol medication.
Yep.
We have people, I have one lady that was diabetic and wore a shunt for 20 years. She's down 85% in her insulin now. We had one woman actually go off her insulin. I could go on and on and on with the things that improve or change or heal. And it makes my reality even stronger that there's only one disease, a toxic body and poor no assimilation of nutrients to the cells. It doesn't matter what you call the challenge. It's just your body screaming at you, I'm
uh-huh.
not getting what I'm supposed to have, and I have too much of what I shouldn't have.
That's it. Too much of what you shouldn't have and not enough of what you need.
What you should.
Yeah.
And so your body, whatever your predisposed weakness is, that's where it's going to come out.
Mm.
So it turns out to be fun because, you know, I'm all about make it yours. I'm giving you a big picture, but you make it yours. I don't believe any of us can do charts or blueprints for someone else's life. I can't tell you need 8 glasses of water a day, you
right.
need this, you need that. You know, I'm saying somewhere 60-70% chlorophyll, but I can't say that for sure. You know, we need to get closer in chlorophyll. But what I think my detox does is it helps wake you up, you become self-empowered, and you figure out a good program for you.
Now, this is relatively gentle easing in, but has anyone had any profound problems from detoxing in this way?
Well, you know, many people run into cleansing symptoms, and generally you get weaker before you get stronger if
mm-hmm.
you hit levels of dirt right away. So say if you have acne, you know, the first week or so, you may get, it may break out and be even worse
yeah.
before it gets better.
It's coming out.
I urge people with very strong challenges to ease in even softer. And we have a couple of integrative doctors on staff that we recommend people to, that they can work in conjunction with them if they are very strongly challenged. But we have people that do it on their own that are strongly challenged too. It just, you know, it's so much of what's in your brain, what's making you comfortable. That's part of the healing, what you can accept and what you can do. I just urge people to get started with it in some way, shape, or form before something happens, because it's very difficult to jump on this bandwagon once you've been diagnosed.
Right. Well, what do I want to say there? I want to say that I have my own history and story. We all have unique experiences. I've been
mm-hmm.
a vegan since 1988 and a vegetarian long before that, and I was on a very extreme health path, and I had been raw for a couple of years, and then I ended up with advanced ovarian cancer. And what I ended up doing, in addition to some conventional medical treatment, is I really upped the level of greens in my life. I was
mm-hmm.
eating a lot of greens, but now I just really cram them. And
mm-hmm.
and I'm here. You know, I'm 4 years cancer-free, and the survival rates were really, really not very friendly. So,
no.
And I know that the things that I've done have made a difference. And so sometimes it doesn't prevent something from happening, but it certainly can help you get through it.
Well,
I really
believe that. I understand what you're saying, and I'm certainly not disagreeing, but, you know, I have people come to me all the time. They say, well, Linda McCartney had cancer and she was a vegetarian.
Dairy.
And what I'm saying is just being a vegan or a vegetarian or a raw foodist, I don't think is enough. I think we have to actively clean out.
Absolutely.
3 or 4 times a year. I truly believe that we can prevent if we continually clean out. Because, I mean, I've had different, you know, things in my body. I personally have not been to a doctor, but I don't recommend that for anyone else. But, you know, I had a huge thing in my throat. I have pictures of it. And I've had many challenges over the years and in my whole process of healing. But I truly, truly believe that it isn't enough just to be a vegan or a vegetarian or a raw foodist. I think we have to clean out. That's why I made that my first book. My message is you got to clean out what you can't control and what was there before you made the changes.
Very, very important.
It's still a part of who you are. You may have given up, you know, coffee or whatever, but what about all the years that your body became acidic from it before?
Yeah, absolutely. And the body has a really unique way of storing things. So it's good at storing nutrients, and that's beneficial, but it can also store
toxicity.
Yeah, and sometimes when we start eating, well, definitely when we start eating better and treating ourselves better, the toxins have to come out one way or another.
And to add to your own circumstances, though, in light of all of the knowledge and healing and cleansing, you know, we just never know the lessons we're given to see where we're supposed to go next, right?
Yeah, I know that this happened to me so that I could learn from it and help others.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really clear. So you mentioned the Rejuvelac, and there was a YouTube video to see how to make that work.
Yes.
Where do you find
right.
that?
Right. Well, I recently, this is so funny because I've been doing this longer than a lot of people out there, and I just got interested in the Internet. I guess in some ways I sure do show my age. You know,
I'm
64. And we hired an IT guy to help me around here with updating my computer stuff. And when the book came out, after it was out, he said, Karen, let's do a Facebook page for your cleansing, for your detoxing community so that they can talk to each other and we can put stuff up. And I go, yeah, sure, you know. Well, he put the page up, Karen. In 3 weeks, I had 11,000 hits on
Whoa.
It. I have become Miss Facebook, okay?
Yeah, good for you.
I understand now how beneficial it is. So once I saw that, I just built a kitchen here to teach food demos, and we're actually starting a school, Karen's Culinary Institute. We're trying to get it accredited to, and I built this kitchen, and so while we're waiting for everything to happen, I just started making little YouTube videos. And I did my almond pate and a pudding, and I did the Rejuvelac, and now I'm going through everything that's in the book that you have to make or blend or mix to help you out, and you can just go to a free YouTube video and look at it.
Well, that's great, because I've tried making Rejuvelac, and I have not been successful.
Well, you know, I think a lot has to do with, do you break the seeds up before you actually start to soak them to make them fermented?
The last time I tried was a while ago, and so frankly, I don't remember. It was,
okay.
But maybe that's what I need to do.
You've got a step-by-step, and by the way, I have to say the lighting is terrible because we're still learning what we're doing, but there's a step-by-step on how to make it, and then something to do with it to make it a fun party drink when you're not detoxing.
Mm.
So I did a ginger Rejuvelac, and a mint Rejuvelac, and I did the original, and I think I'm going to throw a berry on there, too. I did a cacao pudding with a carrot pudding with avocados.
Yum.
I did a...
Yum,
all kinds of YouTube stuff up there, and my website has all kinds of stuff on it.
And
I'm
what
really
is
not,
what is that? What is that site?
My website is Karen, K-A-R-Y-N, raw.com, KarenRaw.com.
Okay.
And I think the Facebook page is cleansing Karen Calabrese Facebook cleanser. You can get to it from the website. I'm still learning all of this.
Well, it's a great opportunity to get this very important information out to so many people who definitely need it. So it's a good thing. Well, Karen, I think we're at the end of the program, and I've been having so much fun talking to you, so thank you so much, and I love everything that you're doing and sharing, and get the book, Soak Your Nuts, Cleansing with Karen. Love it. Secrets for Inner Healing and Outer Beauty.
Thank you, and I appreciate you having me on this show, and I just like to remind people that if you don't take care of your body, it's the most magnificent machine you'll ever be given. Where are you going to live?
Right. Okay. Thank you so much, Karen.
Thank you, and I can come in again soon, please.
Oh, I will.
I got all kinds of new stuff.
Okay. I'm coming soon.
Thanks, Karen.
Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. I'm Karen Hartglass. You've been listening to It's All About Food, and please visit my website at responsibleeatingandliving.com. Lots of great recipes up there and all kinds of information. Have a delicious week. Bye-bye.